Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Something that's been bugging me for a while. So the ferals go, we're gonna get ya.
Yeah, all the time now. They seem to be saying it all the time.
Who or what are they getting? What is that alluding to? I don't understand it. Are they like, are we gonna chase after you and steal your food or something? I just don't understand it.
It's the metaphorical they. They're going to get someone. What? They're going to get
you. Does anyone remember the theme song? You know the part where it says, don't mess with the ferals, they're going to get you back?
That's not the lyric.
That's not the line. Your imagination is
you
so
actually
strong,
had to sing the theme song last week.
The part. Look, I'll paraphrase here. After they go, Darren, but he's a dopey important. Dog. Mixie's a muddled up, mixed up bunny. Ferals, that's the ferals for you. Don't mess with the ferals. They're going to get you back the ferals.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's they're going to get you. They're the ferals.
Whatever.
Get you. Get you back.
That's a big difference.
That's
a big difference.
That's what I said last week,
get you
and
back
you guys
is
didn't
revenge.
Even correct me. I think it's just a shortcut of they're going to get you back. You know, back it's based on the theme song. That's all I'm saying. Whether I said it correctly,
but
or
I just
not.
Like how you're stating that was the lyric from the actual song.
That's what I said last week.
Not
and no one corrected
that.
Me.
Sorry. Now I'm looking forward to hearing him singing like a gay Mike Tyson. Yeah, Ferrell's gonna get you back.
Gonna get you back, the Ferrell.
There's a rat. Called Rattus, he's the leader of the bunch. A cat called Modigliana, she's fluffy but she's tough.
Oh. Darren, he's a dopey dog.
Mixie's a muddled up, mixed up bunny.
Ferals,
that's the ferals for ya.
Ferals,
don't mess with the ferals. The ferals, they're gonna get you, that's the ferals.
Hello and welcome to the Ferals Podcast. I'm your host Monkey Boy, and I'm joined by
Swinney.
What's up?
It's Mike.
It's Mike.
It's filling in your name. So we're up to episode 10. We are well and truly into the final stretch. We've all watched this episode. Well, two and a half of us. Does that work if I say that? You might have skimmed through it, Mike.
Hey, you leave me and my split personality out of this. We have nothing to do with you.
But spoiler alert, like Fight Club.
But remember, we don't actually watch these episodes. We get Dave to watch them and then relay the information, because watching stuff on YouTube is bad.
Exactly. Correct. No That's one right. does that. No one watches anything illegal on YouTube. YouTube doesn't support it.
Mm-mm. Now, I will say I've been watching a lot of Mad Men recently, I'm a bit behind the times on that. So I may be a little confused and get things mixed up in this recap. So just warning you.
Oh, just because you've been hammering Mad Men, and it's quite a similar show, similar tone.
Totally similar. You know, both have lots of excessive smoking and drinking and, a lot of similarities.
Violence.
People being pricks. There's parallels.
How weird is it that you've got a show like Mad Men, yet a show like The Ferals has more violence in it?
I said violence, that's what I thought. I thought it's actually the counterpoint. It doesn't have any violence, almost at all, Mad Men, having watched the whole thing. In this show, there's violence all the way through it. But this show obviously has no sex, no drinking, no drugs, no fun stuff.
I don't know. The fart machine.
Well, we don't know, because there's still another 5 episodes to go.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? It's exciting. All right.
Hey, so the focus. Just quickly. Speaking of YouTube, what do you guys think of Red Tube? I mean, YouTube Red.
Ooh, that wasn't intentional.
Did they intentionally? That actually wasn't intentional. I mean, I'm trying to link the two, but that wasn't intentional.
Wait. I don't actually understand what you're saying. Are you saying about the World AIDS Day Red product thing, or
YouTube Red is the pro subscription, the ad-free subscription service that they're introducing.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh, I didn't know.
So it's YouTube Red, and obviously you've got, as Mike Red said, Tube. Red Tube.
Now, just Google both of those things to find out more.
Yeah, and we'll leave it at that. Yeah.
But are you saying, did YouTube copy RedTube?
Well, I wonder if they were sitting down in a corporate meeting going, what are we going to call this thing? And they're like, whoa, let's see, there is this other famous website.
No. Famous? I'd love to see, like, a list of their tentative names, and you've got, like, all the other sites on there. They're like, oh, that's not going to work. That's already
you
taken.
Hamster.
You porn's already taken. It's like, oh, yeah, YouTube Red, that'll work.
Tube Hub. You Hub.
Or for Swinny Beast Tube.
Wish I didn't Google that.
I know, we've been flagged. I don't know if we did it before or after the metadata laws came in.
I think it was right after.
It's gonna be this.
It was like 2 days after.
So that's going to be the start of our report.
Yep.
And you know how, like, even these intelligence agencies, they're really lazy. So they'll just look at the start of the report, and they'll see this video, and they'll go, we got them.
That's published, guys.
They'll just link...
indicative. This is the first day.
They'll link any Google searches or page searches with the word feral in it to that as well.
Oh, God, what have we done?
True. Yeah, I'm very worried. And also looking for MIG and all that kind of stuff. It's very... I've actually been starting to follow his Twitter account. It's actually quite funny.
Hey.
Go on.
No, you go on.
You just said hey.
Yeah, just thought I'd say hey.
I didn't have anything to say.
He's doing his best fairy impression from the Ocarina of Time. Hey!
Hey! Right.
Since we're on the topic of YouTube and watching videos and being busted for stuff, do you guys ever go to, say, certain websites that require you to take your pants off and you're gradually looking at certain things and then you feel ashamed that was the thing that's last on your history for that session? So you open up a couple more browser windows with something that's a little more acceptable.
What are you talking about?
Just in case it goes in your record.
That's it. This episode like is over. We're going to start this thing from the start.
I just like your theory is that no matter how, like, let's say extreme, whatever the content that you're talking about, that if you watch other things that are less extreme, that on average it brings the whole thing down. I'm not quite sure that's how.
No. I'm not saying on average. I'm saying at least it doesn't look like the thing that you finished off with is really, really bad.
It's almost like, like an average formula in Excel. If I chuck a couple more in, it's going to bring the average down.
Anyway, people listening to this podcast are welcome.
I'm going to adopt Mike's strategy and apply to be Bill Cosby's legal counsel. I'll be like, look, we're just going to average it out. Some women, you drugged. Some you didn't. On average, only slightly drugged. It's not so bad.
We'll just hire some prostitutes to say that you drugged them and they enjoyed it.
Aww.
They needed to be drugged to get through the experience.
But it was willingly.
Well, that's
the difference.
Beautiful, easy segue straight into the podcast, into the episode. So the episode opens with what I would argue it looks like Raddus and Moddy. If this was shown today, in today's era, it looks like they're doing a podcast or something.
Yeah, it was.
Did
a bit
you guys
weird.
Think of that?
It felt like it was a radio show, but then when we realised that they're recording this for like an audition, it made me think it was more of just a comedy bit, like an audio comedy segment. So I thought it was radio at first.
Yeah. Like the Jerky
with a
Boys
video
or
camera?
Something like that.
What? What'd you say?
Video camera. They didn't have
a radio video camera, with a video camera? Yeah.
They didn't have a video camera.
What were they recording on? It was a video camera.
Really? I thought they were just taping on a...
Look, am I the 0.5 here in this relationship? Or is it you guys?
I don't know.
It's 1.5. Half of me and half of all of you.
No, you're getting confused. The video was with Joe and Lenny.
Oh, yes.
But that's like...
I'm skipping ahead again because of my notes. Hang on, let me just amend these notes.
What the hell? All right, but they would say their jokes and then they'd go boom boom, you know, like a bit, and it was really obnoxious. But then I thought, wait, it's meant to be obnoxious, so I actually thought it was really good the way that they're doing it. And I like that Moddy goes to say some rat joke, and Radis cuts in with, "We don't tell rat jokes."
Yeah, I did like that as well. But they're thick as thieves in this episode, aren't they, Radis and Moddy?
They are, actually.
I don't think there's one scene where they're apart.
It was a bit like... They reminded me a bit of... was it Waldorf and Statler? Or from the Muppets? I have
no idea what you're talking about.
From the Muppets, the two guys up in the balcony making all those snide comments.
Oh, yeah. They were like that in this episode.
But how mean were they? They were so... Like, it's the first episode where I really started to hate the characters almost. They were just so... annoyingly bad.
Well, I think because of the way Mixie evolves in the episode as well, that you really don't have any sort of avenues to any nice characters.
No, not at all. Maybe Darren's okay-ish. I mean, we'll talk about it later, but even him, yeah.
So what they're all doing and what we sort of slowly start to uncover is everyone is recording sort of like what would you describe it as, Swinney? Sort of like a talent piece, sort of like what you have these days, you know? But sending it in rather than appearing and performing.
Yeah, the show, they don't exactly clarify exactly what the show is. We find out later that it's called Totally Cool.
Totally Cool.
And they're...
It's wicked.
They're basically audition tapes for, as you said, like a talent search. But we don't know if this is like a video hit style show where they have other things, or like a, what is it, Countdown, that classic Australian show or something like that. Or if it's just more... a kids show, you know, so it's a bit...
Yeah, it's yeah. Bit I think when you send in the audition, I think if it's just an audio, they go to film it. We have Radis and Moddy doing the jokes. Then we flip to Darren and Mixie. Mixie is recording some rabbit rap. And in this scene, they're in Lenny and Robbie's apartment, and they grab a random tape. Now... I don't actually think if kids watch this these days, they would actually understand what the hell is going on.
Crazy, huh?
I didn't actually think about it until I'm like, hang on, kids these days, there's nothing really like this in their lives. You know what I'm saying, Swinney?
Yeah, the fact that they're like, oh, we'll tape over something. I mean, the closest is you could say, I'm going to save something over your USB drive that you had other stuff on. That's probably the closest I'd link it to.
I agree. I understand what you're saying, but it's still discreet. It's like, you know, you can see the data, you wipe it, you put something else there. With these tapes, like, you basically would have to play the whole thing to know if there's anything on there. Because it could have silence at the start, and then start having some talking and stuff like that. So, yeah, I just thought, far out, that's crazy. It's like, kids these days wouldn't even understand what they're talking about.
And it just made me think, kind of dates this, as well. This wasn't that long ago, but it's still crazy to think, with VHS, for instance, that you'd have the you'd have, like, the read-only method of, where there'd be, like, a thing you pop out of the tape, so that it wouldn't...
Physical.
Like, a little clip that if you pop it out... The VHS won't allow you to record, but then you can just put something like blue tack over the spot and you can record over it again. It's crazy to think about that now. So,
you know. Exactly, because like with DVDs, Blu-rays, you know, you can record, and there are ones that you can record over, but no one really uses them. And that trick that you said, it actually happened one time. You know, so we're so old that we used to rent videos, VHS videos, not Blu-ray or DVD, actual tape VHS videos. And one time I was watching one with my uncle, and it was this war. I hope I haven't said this story on the podcast before, but
many times.
And you know what I'm about to say? I'm worried now. I'm starting to get reckless.
Someone's taped over it with something unfortunate.
No. So yeah, we were watching it. It was in a battle scene. And then for a split second, something happened on the screen. And we're like, whoa, what the hell? So we rewound it. And, you know, with these tapes, they're horrible. Like, you rewind, play. And then we got it paused to this point. And it was like this big dude at some Greek wedding doing one of those Greek wedding dances.
What?
For like 3 frames. It was just like, and then it just like awesome. Cuts out. And I'm like, all right, as we would all know, how the hell would that happen? Like, you'd have to physically put something over the tape so you can record over it. And you have to have another tape machine to play that other tape to then record it over this one. It's crazy.
I'm just surprised it didn't used to happen more if it was that easy. Like, surely enough people would have gone, hey, let's just prank everyone and put, like, in Fight Club, just single frames of penises.
Well, that reminds me of my year 11 slash 12.
Nice reference there, Mike.
My year 11 slash 12 media studies class where we were watching, we were meant to be watching some film. And suddenly the tape cuts in, like, this is in class, the tape cuts in to this very lewd home movie. It seemed like a home movie, like, I didn't get to see much of it, obviously. And then the teacher's like, what the hell? And then has to go, like, rush to turn the tape off. And everyone's thinking, like, was that a student, borrowing the tape and recording that on there? Or was that the teacher? We never knew. It was really weird. Awesome.
And what was the room like after the tape was stopped?
It was a mix of year 11 and year 12 kids, so it's like it was a bit weird. I mean, obviously it was hilarious, but yeah.
the only other kind of thing like that I can remember is that video that we watched on SBS, Swinney.
I have a feeling we've mentioned this on the podcast.
I think we have. But yeah, that would be up there as the craziest thing I've ever seen. But I think it would be even funnier, though, if it was, like, in the description that you said, especially if you could tell it was the teacher.
Yeah.
I'm sure people had rumours after that, though, that it was the teacher, right?
Oh, of course, even if it wasn't.
Oh, I can't remember, but it was, at the time, it was so unexpected when you're in the middle of class to get that pop up on the screen.
And then we have Joe and Lenny who what would you say they're doing breakdancing, like a breakdancing video?
Yeah. Hip-hop.
Hip-hop dancing, and then they start doing this awesome breakdancing that was just brilliant. I loved it. It reminded me of Mike Spin Kick.
Ah, legendary.
What?
Mike's spin kick, where he thought it looked absolutely awesome. Yeah.
Hey, I never thought it looked awesome. I knew how retarded that looked.
It was you'd jump up, do a spin, but the leg would drop halfway, kind of at the start, so it'd end up spinning like he's got his leg at a 45-degree angle.
This is one of the times where I feel like it's a shame that this is an audio medium, because it'd be awesome to have a video of this spin kick.
I don't know if I could do them anymore. I'm too old for that now.
Well, it could be even funnier then.
Yeah, falling down, breaking something.
And where are you on your roller coaster of weight? Because again, this is the audio. We don't actually see what we look like, but you go from being, you know, pretty trim to, you know, living large.
Yeah, say the least.
Well, in your words. Because I haven't even caught up with you for a while. Like, where are you at with that?
Because
if you're trim, then you could probably still do it.
I'm not doing this. I know what you're alluding to. I'm not doing this.
Just that I'm seeing you on Friday. I want to see the spin kick. It's my one wish before getting married. All right, anyway. So then we see Robbie, who's looking around for the yellow audition tape, which was the one that Mixie and Darren used to do their recording. She rushed out, grabbed the tape, and sent it through. There was a funny little scene. I don't know. Did you guys find it? Maybe only fun and funny, but did you think it was funny about how Robbie and Darren and Mixie were talking about the tape, and they all thought different things?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when Robbie grabs the tape to send off.
Yeah.
And they're all like, oh, that's the best song I've ever heard. Oh, thank you. Oh, why did she say that? It was actually really well scripted, I thought.
It was very well scripted and acted.
I love the miscommunication. Hey, you know what? You know what this entire thing reminds me of? Do you guys remember John Safran when he sent... he did that skit where he's like, God, there's no quality on Rage. Anyone can send whatever the hell onto Rage and they'll publish it. And he goes and he puts a camera on his dog and just lets the dog run around for a day. And then he goes and creates a shitty little song in some shitty little editor, puts it all together and sends it in and they play it.
I remember that. But you know what? I think that's a bit harsh because, firstly, it is pretty creative. Like, I remember watching the video and it's kind of, it is kind of funny. It's a bit different.
That's true. It's funny how ironically, even though he's trying to just do something stupid, it actually turned out to be pretty good.
Yeah, and he is a musician. Like, he did do music for a long time. He released music, so he started off as a musician. So.
And he's also employed by the ABC, so...
There could have been some strings being pulled, but...
that's a really good point, because I really like... So, John Safran is this Australian presenter. How would you describe his style? He's a bit like a zany... He's a bit of a mix between Tom Green and Jon Stewart.
Yeah, that's a good mix.
Is that about right?
For people who don't understand Safran, that sounds like the strangest possible combination, but it's pretty on point.
Yeah, that was off the top of my head. I'm pretty proud of that one.
Ding, you get a medal.
But, yeah, every now and then he would do stuff, and it's sort of a little bit dodgy. Like, he doesn't tell the full truth. Like, he did a lot of stuff with Ray Martin. I think Ray Martin was going to get another... He's like, I don't know, Walter Conkry or something like that in the States. So, with Ray Martin, I think it got up to a point where I think Ray Martin was going to get a restraining order against him.
Oh, yeah. I remember
he was searching. He was searching through his trash and showing up.
Well, yeah, and he's trying to make out that Ray Martin is a bit of a nutcase, but I actually do think he was the nutcase. And he did a few things with his ex-girlfriend that, like, harassing her and stuff. So I don't know. I reckon those were staged. He's a funny guy, though.
The ex-girlfriend ones, I reckon.
I don't know, man. I don't think he's like that. I think he's a pretty crazy cat. Like, I think the things that you saw were real. But you might be right. Okay, so what I did see is, did you guys see the little art segue for the tip when they're flipping out to go to the tip?
I saw it, but I didn't take notice of anything particular about it.
No, I was just thinking, like, I've never seen this graphic before because we've seen the shed graphic many times, right? And it just seems a bit strange. Like, they're almost at the end of the show and they've got this new graphic that they're trying to show.
It wouldn't surprise me that they probably already had it ready and they've just never used it, or it got edited because of various reasons. So,
yeah, I wonder, because, you know, early in this episode, there's quite a lot of cuts. Like, it's going from scene to scene quite quickly. So maybe they just wanted to really make sure people know, or kids know, where they're at now. Did you guys feel that, like, Darren was a bit weird in this episode? Because he was super, super supportive of Mixie.
But he's always supportive, isn't he?
Is he? Like, to this level?
Towards Mixie, I reckon, yeah.
Okay.
He was conveniently... very over-supportive, but it makes sense for what the episode needed, I think.
That's true.
And then we had Moddy and Radis, who were just ripping in with violent jokes.
So, one of them, Moddy says, "What's pink and turns red at the flick of a switch?" And Radis says, "A singing rabbit in a blender."
Now, that one in particular.
Those jokes, you know, obviously they're schoolyard jokes, right? We heard all that stuff, you know, I'm sure that they still say that stuff to this day, but to put it on TV for kids is another thing. It was funny. I enjoyed it, but...
I laughed.
Seriously?
So, okay, I always... You know what? I must admit, that interview we had with Mel, I do think about a lot what he said in terms of, you know, they used the cartoon rule. So if you'd see it in a cartoon, you'd see it in this, right? I don't think you'd see that in most cartoons, jokes like that.
I can't think of a Looney Tunes or Hanna-Barbera cartoon where they would have pulled that off. Now,
say the joke or do it. They certainly wouldn't do it.
Right? Like Adult Swim cartoons and stuff, but that stuff wasn't around back then.
I don't know. Itchy and Scratchy in The Simpsons. They do some pretty probably
the
worse
Simpsons,
than that. Actually,
though, The Simpsons, as much as it is obviously a cartoon, that's the medium. It's actually more of a sitcom, like an adult/family-orientated sitcom. Yeah, it's not really a children's cartoon, though.
Also, the jokes aren't sort of crass and violent. They're more...
No, I'm talking about Itchy and Scratchy in particular. Itchy and Scratchy. The Itchy and Scratchy show. It's in like every third episode of The Simpsons or so.
The Krusty.
The Cat and the Mouse.
Cat and Mouse.
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking about what you're saying. Yeah, I guess so. It's probably a good point.
Super duper violent. but to John's point, it's not... The show in of itself wasn't directed at just kids like this would be.
No, but it's a good point. Like, yeah, you're probably right. All I thought was the jokes were kind of going over the line. Like, even if I was on the show, I'd be like, oh, I don't know about these jokes.
Well, with all the anti-bullying stuff these days, it definitely wouldn't, so...
Oh, yeah, that's true. How much bullying is in this show? Have we even really made a big light of that? I don't think we have.
It's taken us like 26, 24 episodes or whatever to bring it up, but we got there.
And then I just thought, can we even think of one single episode where a character or an actor in the show isn't being bullied? Like, Lenny's bullied, Joe's bullied. I don't think Robbie's bullied too much. I can't think of any time she's been bullied.
Not really. She's usually the person doing the
bullying. But Nixie 100% been bullied. Moddy's been bullied. Keith's been bullied. Like, they're all being bullied.
Keith and Kylie were super bullied in this episode.
But yeah, I'm just struggling to think of an episode where a character isn't bullied. And it's often, like, the roles are switched and who's bullying. Yeah, it's a really good point. You wouldn't be able to show this show just
Is it
based
still
on
bullying
that these days.
If everyone's doing it? Just a thought.
I think that's even more bullying.
Is it?
Isn't it?
Well, if everyone swears all the time, everywhere, is it technically still swearing, or is it just part of the language then?
Of course it is. What do you mean?
Well, no, I'm saying if everyone accepts and everyone says it, does it technically still count as swearing then?
It's your definition of what a swear word is, right?
Just think of the show, Mike. Just think of kids watching this show. If everyone's bullying each other, then that says that bullying is fine. Everyone can do it to bullying. Each other. So I think that point, it's not a good thing.
Which is why we accepted all the bullying directed towards us when we grew up.
In saying that, I don't have a problem with it. But
you don't have a problem with bullying?
Some people do.
Aren't you going to be a teacher one day?
Yeah, exactly. No. In regards to a show
fine.
Like this...
Bullying's
like, no. In regards to a show like this...
I've got no problem. That's what I'm going to just lead with, the quote. I've got no problems with bullying.
No. Let me clarify. With a show like this doing it, in the sense that it's the tone and context. It's the way it's presented. When you think about it, there's bullying in everything. It's really how it's presented and how it's, if it's glorified or if it's obviously says this is the correct thing to do. So
it's glorified by Rockstar, isn't it? What's your stance on that game?
That game. Bully, yeah.
That's actually a very good game. So.
Oh, therefore he thinks bullying is fine. Jeez.
I reckon you should blog about it, Mike. You should blog about it. Call him out. He calls out other people.
I should go on Twitter and create an account. #, he's a bully and he loves bullying.
I just like that. I'll create an account. #, blah, blah, blah.
Is it going to be...
Someone has...
Is it going to be called Swinny Gate?
Swinny
Gate. The Leaky Gate. Okay, so now we find the show is called Totally Cool. I think this is the first time that we found it out. Did you do any research about the lady who was a presenter, Swinny?
Okay, so I don't know about you guys, but I recognized her, but I couldn't remember where she was from.
Now, can I ask a few questions?
Yes.
Because she's in a few movies. Is she in Dark City?
No, she's actually not in many movies. Mm. She's been in like mini series.
I've definitely seen her. I've seen her in a movie.
She's been on a lot of prominent shows that we may have seen. Like, I think, I can't remember off the top of my head, but
YouTube
like maybe
Red?
All Saints and stuff like that. but she was very... She's well known in I guess, the like gossip culture in Australia in the 90s. So it's Kim Kim Wilson was her name.
Okay.
And yeah, Kim Wilson did some stuff.
What now, kind of stuff?
That stuff also includes Michael Hutchins.
Wait, she did Michael Hutchins?
From INXS. There was a big scandal over it, and she actually went to the US over it. And I think she was also on like, the cover of Playboy or something as well.
Ooh. So.
But
can I just say, how many people on this show, when we've Googled them, we'll try to find them or whatever, have been in Playboy or have been nude or had some sex scandal?
The sex scandal, if you count the Hey Dad guy... If that's technically a sex scandal or not.
I didn't say that. Thank you very much.
We've brought up Dani Minogue, but she wasn't on the show. And so I think this is probably the first one we know of.
Hmm.
But I'm just going to put a link. So I've linked to an image. So she was portrayed in a very popular, very famous miniseries about INXS in the last couple of years called Never Tear Us Apart. I never watched it, but it was apparently very good. And so she was actually played in the show by an actress named Kylie Gulliver. Now, looking by that image, do you guys reckon they actually... I don't know. Did they just go, we'll just get some...
They look nothing like each other.
To me, she does not look like her. Now, I know that Kylie Gulliver in that picture has a lot of makeup on, but at what point do you just not care about the casting choices and how well they look alike to people?
Whatever, she looks hot naked.
So, wait, what show was this on? Sorry?
It was a miniseries called Never Tear Us Apart about INXS and Michael Hutchins. So it was massive. I think maybe 2 years ago. So
I think I missed it, and everyone said it was pretty good.
So anyway, that's the host of Totally Cool. So
Totally Cool. Yeah, she looks nothing like her.
Nothing at all.
I don't know. What do you think about that though? Like, do you really need to look like the person? I feel like if you sort of embody them in their mannerisms, I find that to be much more convincing than anything else.
Kind of.
But that only works if the people understand and know what those mannerisms would be. No one's going to know what Kim Wilson's mannerisms were. So,
true.
Now, to be honest...
That's why I think it's fine. I think it's fine.
I haven't seen it, so it could have just been for a very quick cameo in a scene. I don't know if
she's not in it.
I don't know how prominent she was in it, so...
No, it's always about family, those things, man. That's how they get you. It's like even the Steve Jobs movie that just came out. It's all about his relationship with his daughter.
Yeah. And apparently...
Wait, there's another Steve Jobs movie? That. How many Steve Jobs movies are there?
Well
people are starting to really milk it now.
This is the one that people were wanting, and they rushed the other one out. This is the one directed by Danny Boyle. So, yeah. So this is... And I think written by Alan Sorkin, I can't remember what his name is.
Aaron Sorkin.
Yeah. So, this is the one to watch if you're going to watch any of them. But
He did The Social Network and The West Wing. He's done a bunch of stuff. But you would have watched The Social Network, right?
Yeah.
About Facebook.
Yeah. Which was okay. But I just find, I find with Steve Jobs, there's so many different pieces of his life that you can take in and of themselves and create a whole film out of it if you really wanted to.
I'd like to see one where
it really explores his whole life from...
Well, no. What they apparently did with this one is they took his life at three separate stages, and the actual film style... Well, it's meant to be talking about the Ferrells here, but anyway. The film style kind of changes between the three eras.
That's pretty cool.
I think it's the launch of, I think, the Macintosh, the launch of... The iMac, and I think...
But what about the part where he went and he did Weed in India?
The iPhone. It would be the iPhone last.
No. There's nothing past the iMac. So,
really?
Yeah. So it's around the launch of when he left the company. Something between the next. It's like a next PC or no next.
Yeah,
computer
next
or
computer.
So
I just finished reading his autobiography. He's authorized, I guess, autobiography.
Mm-hmm.
It's bloody long, and I didn't realize how much he had to do with Pixar. I'm not, you know, like, I'm not a big fanboy of Steve Jobs or anything, but I was, yeah, really surprised how much he had to do with Pixar.
Mm.
Like, basically, you wouldn't have Toy Story if it wasn't for him.
Yeah.
He put the money for, like, the shorts that led to the funding for Toy Story.
I don't know if Pixar would have been as successful. I mean, I don't know, we're, you know, talking shit here.
I'm
really,
telling you, I don't think it would exist. I don't think it would exist. Yeah, I'm sure someone else would have bubbled up and done, you know, 3D movies, but I'm saying at Pixar as it is, because the key people that were behind it, like John Lasseter, they needed the cash, and if they wouldn't have had it, they would have went on to do other things. So
he's had a massive impact on a lot of things. I mean, as much as people, you know, diss him and the whole phenomenon around the iPhone, and whether, you know, he copied, innovated, or otherwise, I think his contributions were massive. Massive. Oh, yeah, and then along, you know, other companies that then came and quote-unquote copied what they try to do, including their business models, etc., not just the designs of the devices. It's had a huge impact on society.
Oh, yeah, definitely, man. So, like, that's probably one of the largest changes in our lives, you know, just the integration with the internet and just walking around all the time. But so he's definitely going to be like a Benjamin Franklin for our time, which leads us very cleanly back into the episode.
I was just going to say, the episode. Mm. So the host, her name is Nikki on the show, on Totally Cool.
Yep.
She pulls an Eddie Maguire.
They go, yes, gosh,
thank you.
We're going to announce the winner. The winner
explain it.
Oh, it's like the winner is going to be shown right after this break or something like that. And then they cut to break. It's like, that's an Eddie Maguire.
Shit so much.
But that's crazy, man, because this is 1995. I remember TV because, you know, very dedicated watcher. When Eddie Maguire started doing that shit in the early 2000s, with all of his shows that he had, you know, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire and all that stuff. That was, like, relatively, how do I say, you know, out of step with what people expected.
Yeah,
like, people didn't like it at the time. So, 1995, that was not a common thing. People did not do that in 95.
He's a natural troll, so.
Yeah, like, it's funny if you do it once.
He's a great man.
As a joke, a couple of times as a joke, but it wasn't a joke. It was just to keep people hooked. It was bullshit. Like, go get screwed.
It was the cliffhanger technique. So you know how many times I've
swapped channels and I've never bothered coming back out of pure principle alone.
There's a lot of people who would have stuck around, and I think they would have proved it. Would have proved
it
works. Good.
It absolutely works.
I just find it funny because what you're talking about, like, Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, out of principle, I'm not going to continue watching the show.
No, he's done it. I don't remember what else. He's done another stuff. I rarely used to watch that show. I admit, like, maybe I've seen two or three episodes, purely because I like the quiz behind it. I don't really give
you're
a
on such
not,
You're on such a high horse that you only watch the first half of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Because they're the only questions I can answer. Easier questions.
You're like, it's easy, this show.
So, can I just say...
By question, this show's stupid. I'm changing channels.
So, they send it to an ad break. And then they transition. Did they really need a transition? They could have just had a couple of lines and then, like, ooh, it's magically back from the ads, you know?
No, but I actually think... So, you know, obviously, ABC, they're very left-leaning, the people who are working on the ABC.
Bunch of liberal hippies. I bet you they're all vegan.
Eating vegan bacon. I think that they're showing, like, how cynical TV will become. So, not only... I think that they made the transition to show not that it was just after the break. It was a lot later in the show.
Because
when it came back, it was like, the tone was a bit different. She was on the floor, and she was like, oh, and yeah, now this is the time that you've been waiting for. So, I actually think it was not even just after the break. It was like a few more segments later, which is exactly what they do in TV now.
Yeah.
You know, with all those horrible reality TV shows that people seem to love? I don't even know which one's the one that's on currently that was really big.
Bachelor.
I don't know. My Bachelor Restaurant Rules.
It's about
a bachelor restaurant, you know, versus
where he's trying to lose weight.
Where the customers are the bachelor, the ladies that they have to meet with, and then if the dishes are good, they'll get married.
And then when you know, they have a number of contestants, and they vote each other off throughout the weeks as well.
Yep, or and the, it's set in different women, parts of the world as they're racing.
The
across.
Women in the line, the women in the line have to vote each other off. You know, it's like who can get next in line. A bit of a homage to Seinfeld as well.
Have you heard the they're doing? Episode. Apparently, they're doing a new reality show. I don't know exactly what it's called, but it's like a PC version of, like, F, Marry, Kill. If you know what I mean.
Oh, where it's shut like, up!
Yeah, I'll try to find the name of it.
Wait, a PC what? Version of it.
Yeah, I'll try to find the actual name.
They're just like fillet. Marry or you know put yeah. into the ground.
Hello, my name is Ivan Mallett. I'll do all three.
I'll do all three
in no particular order.
I'm married to my work.
Oh, here we go. It's called Make Out, Marry or Move On.
Make out. Oh, God, you know what I didn't understand? That you know the word hook up.
Yeah,
that's actually changed the meaning. In our between our generation and kids these days,
yeah, because now it's that sex toy that you like that hook you put in.
What?
What?
And you hook yourself up.
What are you talking? What?
That's not it. Isn't that what kids talk about nowadays?
No. So if I said I hooked up with this girl,
yeah.
What do you think that means?
Well, I'm guessing she's put a hook up your ass, and then using a pulley, she pulled you up. And then did stuff to you, I don't know.
I assume that you...
Making an edit mark.
I assume that you had a fling. But it doesn't have the connotation that it's not going anywhere else, but yeah.
No, but what I want to make clear is, so it does involve sex, right?
Yeah.
So kids these days, when they say, oh, I hooked up with this girl, it just means make out.
What?
It blew my mind when I found out this recently. Yeah.
What do they say when you've actually done it? It really depends on the country as well, because you can't say I'm going out.
No, Australia. Here.
I'm going out. No, I'm saying...
Australia, mate.
But if you say, for instance, I'm going out on the pool to an American, that's like, what the hell?
Going out on
you're
the
going
what?
Out, you're going out to have a pool? Why would you?
You're going out to what? Going out on the pool?
On the pool, yeah.
On the pool.
Or he pooled last night.
Yeah. On the
pool. Is that what we say in Australia?
P-U-L-L. P-U-L-L.
Mike doesn't even know. We've already established Mike doesn't know slang, right?
Nah.
It's actually more British.
I gotta get out of here. Well, exactly. Yeah, go back to the UK, you UKer.
Yeah. No, I only found out.
Hang on. Luke, what do kids actually say when they do hook up? And I'm talking about the proper hooking up. None of this.
None of the hook up the ass.
And not that either. You know, the one where they go further than first base.
What the hell is this hook up the ass, man? What are you talking about?
Hang on, I'll Google it.
Oh, no. All right, let's go back to the episode.
Yeah, far out.
So I'll just say this.
I'm all over the place. So totally cool.
In this scene, yep. Actually, look, it's after the announcement, so let's just say who won the competition.
Well, what I wanted to say was there was a call on live TV. Now, they did do calls on live TV when I was young, but people don't do that anymore. Have you noticed that? Like how rare it is that you'd see a live call on TV.
They do it more on radio, but still they... you see the amount of times it goes wrong on radio, so...
I think everyone... I guess it's because it's so viral these days that if you...
I do not want to click on that link, Mike.
What did I say?
It's safe. I haven't even seen the full URL.
Hey, you want to know what it is? That's what it is.
Oh, God. No, that URL. I do not want to click on that.
It's a clean URL. wp-content/upload/2014/05/68.z.jpg.
Totally clean URL. Totally. Anyway.
Now that's out of control. A proper hookup.
The ass.
I just have to delete the whole section or something.
I'm not going to click that because that's going to be against my data retention record.
Yeah, I've already clicked it, and I'm not on my VPN anymore, so I'm screwed.
Yeah, the hook police right. coming after you.
Exactly. All right, yeah, I was just making the point about the live call, which I thought was strange, like, because they don't do it anymore on TV. And yeah, so Robbie has won the contest, like we all expected, right?
Robbie in quotation marks.
Yeah, it's Robbie in quotation marks indeed.
I think we saw what was happening though, right? As, you know, viewers of the show.
I think so.
No, I didn't understand.
So everyone's pissed off. Radis and Moddy leave to... what I liked about this was they actually said, oh, we're leaving. I'm going to, you know... What did you hear what Radis actually said?
Yeah, something about his tootsies? Okay, I had to listen to it a few times. At first, I kept hearing him say, I got to suck my tootsies.
No, sorry.
No, yeah, I know it's... Yeah, but I had to listen to it a couple of times to actually go, oh, he's saying soak because it sounds like suck to me.
Yeah.
Best part is that you think it's made up. You think they're just making something random up. But
yeah, go on.
Then it transitions to them in the shed. He's actually soaking his feet in a tub.
That, yeah. That's the point that I was wanting to make as well. I thought it was cool. I thought it was funny.
Yeah.
Because usually in the show when they say stuff like that, you know, there's no continuity. But yeah, in this case there was. They actually said it, and then that's exactly what they were doing. And it looked like Moddy was having a spa or something. Or was it like a bath?
Yeah, it was a spa bit weird. Bath,
yeah,
it's pretty weird. I always find it weird with these like animal characters, puppets and stuff, where they sort of wear clothing and then they don't wear clothing. It's like, what does that mean? Are they naked?
There's something later on that weirded me out a bit as well, and I think you guys might have noticed it.
Oh, I don't think so. All right. I don't think there's anything weird.
When we get to it. So you have to point it out.
Okay.
Yeah. So was this the scene where Joe came in and someone said they were wicked? Do you remember that word being used? I know definitely someone said wicked.
I remember using it back in the 90s, yeah.
That has got to be the most 90s word. Totally. Would that be number one? 90s?
That's
one of them. Or grouse?
Totally.
Grouse?
And grouse, yeah. Totally wicked, dude.
Never knew how to spell it.
Is that because of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? Or did they just kind of steal it from popular culture, or did they introduce it into it?
Oh, that's a good question.
Totally wicked, dude. Sure.
I think they only really introduced Cowabunga.
Cowabunga!
What did you say?
I think he said Cowabung.
I said Cowabunga. What are you talking about?
I thought you said Cowabunga.
No.
For a second.
Hey.
Not you, sweetie. I thought Mike said
Are you
said
making
Cowabunga.
Fun of my immigrant accent?
No, you not at all. We're all immigrants here.
Bully you.
Cowabunga!
Do you like that comeback? We're all immigrants. We're all foreign to this native land.
That's right. Thanks to potentially, you know, scientists are saying that life may have originated on Mars.
I thought you said
billions
white
of years ago.
You said that, not life.
I noticed you said
white had originated on Mars.
I notice a running theme white here. We always mishear Mike, and half the time he's not saying it incorrectly, but we hear it that way.
So, that's no, I question, because I do have a screwed up accent. I'll be the first to admit that. So I do question whether I pronounce something correctly or not.
Well, no, that's true, because there was one thing you said a few weeks ago, and when I was editing the episode, I'm like, oh, I don't know if you did say it right.
Was it the marketing kind of like, one-on-one?
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. What was it, one-on-one or one-in-one?
Yeah.
One-in-one or whatever.
One
it was very one, close.
101 yeah, or one-on-one.
One-on-one, yeah. Anyway, so we have Michael Hutchison's girlfriend, lover, whatever she was. I can't even remember in that story. That Nikki chick from Totally Cool who wants to come and see Robbie play. Robbie starts playing hard rock, and that's not what she wanted. It was the rabbit rap. So then, but everyone realized it was Mixie straight away. Which,
yeah,
I don't know.
Lenny's just
seemed
like
a bit weird.
Mixie,
really?
Like instantly.
Yeah. Mixie,
really? Wouldn't seemed a bit weird. They said the rabbit rap, and it
was
weird
that
they thought
they
she sang it.
Well, but I don't think it was... Did they know she was recording? Why did they send the tape in if they knew she was recording?
I think they just assumed everyone was trying to do it. to get into the show besides Keith and Faye Kylie?
If they said Romanian rap, I wouldn't think of you, Nate. Nor, well, I probably would, actually, but... Okay, maybe you're right.
Exactly. Like, who else would you think of?
I'll just say, I put this... I do this with my notes all the time, and I've never really brought it up. Every time that it's just the human characters, I often put in my notes, humans are here. Humans doing this. And it makes me think, any other... Because, like, it's like ferals, humans, you know, I try to... I don't want to have to type all their names out all the time. And I'm like... Is there any other show, like that I can think of that I would take notes like that by saying these characters are just humans?
Well, you could, but you could be, go down a very dangerous path if it's just humans and figuring out ways to judge them quickly, categorize them. Anyway, so Mixie's won the competition. So this was the bit where Joe wants to become a manager and Raddus and Moddy smashing their heads against each other. I don't know, was there anything in this scene that you liked?
One thing I liked was, well, first of all, the contract was a gigantic bundle of paper, which was nice.
Yeah, how many pages?
Accurate, probably.
I've got a guess. How many?
I don't know, about 1,500? It was massive.
I reckon it's got way more than that.
Really?
Yeah, I reckon 3,000. Because if you think about a ream of paper, even,
yeah,
it's not that tall. So, 500.
I will say, this is one of the times we actually did get a good lesson for kids out of this show. Because although it was for selfish reasons, they still said, oh, you know, don't sign that contract, it's dodgy, or something like that. Saying that you shouldn't just...
signs it anyway.
Yeah, I know that. But saying that, so you shouldn't just sign your life off, you know, or sign your name on something without reading it. So.
I do love how the show makes the actual valuable lessons hidden and really esoteric and all the other bad stuff just in plain sight.
and elevated as well. Well, drawing and...
Sometimes lessons, the best way for people to absorb lessons is a bit more subconsciously, you know, so...
I would argue it trained people to just sign whatever is put in front of them. Like when I know you guys are weird and you use Windows Phone or whatever, but you know how it comes up with the agreement. You don't read the agreement, do you? You just agree.
Yeah,
it's pretty much the exact same thing.
Wait, let me process that information and the question that he just asked.
Well, on that note,
that is correct.
There was a game that came out on Steam a couple of months or years ago or whatever, and...
A couple of months or years ago?
What? I can't remember, right? Relax, it's not important. Basically...
Relax,
the terms
baby.
And conditions had...
Get your hook.
The terms and conditions had a certain term in there saying that for the first 100 people who contacted us citing this term, they could get free stuff. It was like a hidden Easter egg in the terms and conditions. And they actually had up to 100 people, I think, before it went viral on the internet, actually called it up. So.
Damn you, Reddit. Yeah, I suggested that we do that at Macquarie. Like, literally, I said, let's do that. And, yeah, got voted down for good reasons. All right, so she signs a contract. And I thought it was quite cute that instead of signing... In this episode, she doesn't sign anything. She does a paw print. So everyone wants to have a paw print rather than a signature. That's kind of funny.
Yeah. Also makes it easy with puppeteering.
That's true. That's true. Damn, you guys are just being lazy. Because if you think about it, they were writing in the exam episode, weren't they?
Yeah.
The school episode. School's out. Ah, I feel ripped off now. So Joe's the manager. Mixie... appears on Totally Cool. The only thing... you guys can lead with what you thought was interesting in this scene, but the thing that I wanted to point out was, did you notice that the TV presenter, that Kim Wilson chick, that she had heaps of sweat under her armpits?
No.
I did not notice that. I was just... My eyes... Unfortunately, my eyes were just on Joe the whole time. Because he was funny in this scene. He was just like trying to creep into the shot and everything. So I didn't notice that sweat under the armpits.
I don't know. Maybe I'm sensitive about it because I don't know. It's always a bad look. It's never a good look. There's no look that you can ever have. You can never work that look, right?
Yeah, if you're at the gym, it looks like you're actually doing something.
No, but even athletes, they have like tank everywhere. Tops and stuff on, so you don't
see
it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Great. I guess I am the only one being turned on by that. What?
The only other thing was the bit where, do you remember when Darren says, "Oh, shucks"?
Yes.
In this scene? It was weird. I thought it was real weird.
Well, I thought it was cool.
I'm just reading into these things. Okay.
It's interesting that we both consciously thought about him saying that. Yeah. It's kind of weird that compared to other scenes, it's like, oh, yeah, hey, you said that. That's kind of interesting. But I didn't mind it. I thought it was all right.
So we have the downward spiral of Radis and Moddy. They're starving again in the shed. The theme of them starving is coming out again. It's very inappropriate for kids.
You like how Moddy was getting hit in the head with all this random stuff, and she wasn't flinching. Does that remind you of anyone in particular, Monkey Boy, being hit in the head?
Not anyone, but a dog. Yeah,
they're a one. Yes, Bubbles, when we're playing around with tennis ball, just got hit in the head. And he's beautiful.
I like how you're obsessed about this, but my beautiful Labrador that's passed away many years ago. Not the smartest. I think he got kicked out of. I think he got kicked out of being a guide dog. And can I say one thing about guide dogs? And it could be incorrect, but I'm quite sure it's true. Is that, you know how there's three colours of guide dog?
Yes.
Three colours of Labrador?
Yeah.
There's like a golden, brown, golden, yellow, black. Brown and black, right?
Wrong.
What I've been told is that the chocolate coloured ones, or brown, but they're supposed to be called chocolate, they're never allowed to be guide dogs.
Why is that? Because
they're the result of a genetic mutation.
So?
And they're not as smart as other Labradors.
Racist.
I've got some inside connections to that, so I'll try to find out the answer for you, Monkey Boy.
Okay, find out. And I must admit, in my experience, I was like, that's kind of true. I don't ever remember a chocolate guide dog.
No.
But I definitely remember black and yellow ones.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
but then there's not that many chocolate labs to begin with.
Oh, there's a lot.
Well, I mean, but I think there's like out of every lab, there's like 1 in 100 that's chocolate, right? Yeah, so, of course, there's still a lot.
That's true. So, but 1 in 100 is not common. A few of them, yeah.
Do you
reckon you'd know this?
Well,
sweetie.
I guess it's 1 in 100. Have I seen 100 guide dogs? I don't even think
I don't think I have in my life, though.
So. Mm.
Hey, Swinny, you know how with insurance policies, if a certain breed of dog is really stupid and statistically more prone to accidents as a result, does that push the insurance up?
Most companies base premiums on breed these days.
Ah, so potentially, like, if there's a really stupid breed, it might affect prices.
It's
not, right?
it's less the intelligence and more how prone it is to certain conditions and loss ratios. Anyway, let's get back to the episode.
Yeah, true.
We want people to learn.
I'll summarize it very quickly. It's just like, you know, all insurance is judging claims against money that you're going to get in. It's very simple. So statistically, younger people get into more car accidents, so the insurance costs more.
Hmm.
You know, and it's the same as animals. It's a smart thing to do. Because breeds do have associations with, you know, problems with their hips or teeth or eyes or whatever, and it's going to be quite expensive against the claims that are going to come through.
Now, talking about dogs, Darren,
I like
in this Darren scene. In this scene, Darren is a dog. Do you like how
is he a mix between the dingo? I can't remember.
He's a mix.
Do you like how he punched? I think punched Radis.
Yes,
staring at him. He doesn't blink, and he's it's like.
That's
and just
really
like
good
his arm
puppeteering.
Flies
awesome.
Over and just smacks him in the face. It's awesome.
He punched a few people in this episode that made me laugh quite a lot. Because he's just like, dead stare, boom, and just the fist is going. That's it. Oh, God. So, at this point in the episode, Mixie is now famous. She's been on the show Totally Cool once, and now she's got devotees outside of the shed. Adorning her with chocolates and other things.
I'll just say this show, because this episode is called Mixie Mania. Obviously, it's saying it's like Bart Simpson style. I'd say it's more so that than like Beatlemania or anything. You know, Bart Simpson was just this big thing in the early 90s, so.
Oh, was that called Bartmania?
Yes. No, it was, yeah, it was like, that was Do the Bartman. Simultaneously. I'm not saying the wording, but it was a similar kind of phenomena.
I don't think younger people who now see The Simpsons and probably think, oh, this show is so crap, you know, I don't know what old people are talking about. But yeah, there was a period of time where Bart was just everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like, video clips, everything was ridiculous.
But that's also because of The Simpsons. I mean, I haven't seen the most recent episodes, so I can't say anything about them, but the originals and sort of that period in the 90s was just brilliant. Really, really good writing. Mm. And then it kind of went downhill, went back up a little bit. But I think that was a real cool golden era where the cartoons were just excellent for everyone. Mm. Not just kids, but adults as well.
Mm. As opposed to now.
I haven't seen the most recent one, so I can't comment. They could be back to being really good. Sorry. I don't know.
Nah, they're crap. I downloaded a couple recently, and I'm like, I mean, I bought a couple recently
via Metadata. Dave
George Brandis. I bought it, I swear. Anyway, so now we have Lenny the choreographer because they need to have some backup dancers. Since when is Lenny a freaking choreographer? Didn't it get established that he's not good at dancing?
Well, he wasn't bad at the episode where he had social anxiety. He wasn't too bad.
That's true.
He had some moves.
That's true. I really like the really subtle thing that they did where the guys, when they were doing their breakdance moves, they had human feet to indicate where they are on like a little board to show what the dance moves are. But when they had Keith and Kylie, they actually had little paws.
Yeah, that was good.
So I thought that was pretty cute. Yeah. So I reckon we're going to play this clip. So this is where Raddus and Motti want to be backup dancers and want to get rid of Keith and fake Kylie. So this is the exchange between Raddus and Keith.
Those dubbos, you must be joking.
Who are you calling a dubbo?
Watch this, Jay. Stick your fingers in your ears, Keith.
Don't do it, Keith.
I'm not afraid of him.
Feel anything?
What?
Feel anything in there?
Nah.
Thought so. Now, Jay, down to business.
I want
to
keep playing.
Check this out.
Oh, this is not going to work. Sorry, I'll stop it.
I will say, what you missed
there...
It
does continue on with it.
...is when he says, stick your fingers in your ears, Keith. Kylie, fake Kylie, in probably her best part so far. Don't do it, Keith. And then his head pops out of into the shot. And he's got his fingers already in his ears saying, I'm not afraid of him.
I agree. It's actually one of the funniest lines. One of the funniest, like, editing lines, everything. It's very funny. It's very funny. And wait a second. So, Motti is in this scene.
Yeah.
Because remember we had that question about, is Motti ever in the same scene as Keith, given that it's the same person?
Does she talk?
Well, we never see Keith and Kylie and Raddus and Motti in the same shot. You know what I mean?
Mm. Hang on.
Like, I don't.
Do you guys reckon it was? It's because it's voiced by the same person.
I think so.
No way.
Oh my god!
Mind blown.
Like, how did you figure that out?
Lee 2015.
Fuck the hell.
Hey, wait, did I have to have an edit mark just then? I don't know if I picked it up or not. Yep. Swinny. Alright, so I don't actually know what Dovo means. What's Dovo?
Dov? What?
Dovo?
What did they say? What did Rana say? These Dovos. Isn't that what he said? He didn't say Darrow, he said Dovo or something similar to that. I've never heard that before.
I can't remember.
I like how we all heard it, didn't not understand what it said, just moved on with our lives.
I just assumed it's Australian slang, and I just don't know Australian slang. I assumed you guys would know.
They didn't say Dumbos. Do you think it could have been? Did he say Dumbos?
Nah, I swear he said Dev. He didn't say Devo because I know.
Can
what Devo
play it again?
Is. I'm pretty sure he said Dovo.
Ali, I'm doing backup.
Those Dovos, you must Dubbos, be joking.
Yeah. Who are you calling a Dovo?
What? See. Because Keith said it as well. That's
Dubbo.
The key. No, it wasn't Dubbo.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it was Dubbo.
I don't think it was Dubbo.
Dubbo, yeah, it was Dubbo.
Dubbo?
Dubbo.
Yeah, what? It was Dubbo. Black music.
Let's try it again. That part of New South Wales, Dubbo.
Look, we'll try it again. We'll try it again here.
Robbie's on bongos and Keith and Kylie are doing backup.
Those Dubbos, you must be joking.
Who are you calling a Dubbo?
Watch this.
Oh, maybe you're right, Dubbo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just trying to look it up. So Dubbo, Australian slang, stupid, imbecile, idiot, or imbecile.
Ah, there you go.
I like how it has to have two separate definitions. Stupid. Oh no, sorry, it says imbecilic. That's right.
Imbecilic.
Also a town in New South Wales. Probably from the people that live in Dubbo.
It seems to come. It seems to come from that. Yeah.
Hey, actually, some of these other slangs are quite funny. It's ugly as a box of blowflies. A certain odd the field. A certain odd the field. I don't get that. Jesus. I don't even know my own country.
Yeah. So, in the follow-up scene, they're doing photo shoots for Mixie, all right?
Correct.
The first...
Wrong.
Go on.
The first scene of this section is her lying down with, like, a dress or something.
Yeah.
And this is where what I was alluding to earlier... The dress has actual... I don't know, like she has boobs or something in the dress. Now, we know that there's nothing there because we see it all the time.
Oh, my God.
So, they put the boobs on the dress. It's quite alarming.
So creepy. Love it.
And then
that's a good point.
That's probably pick up on that. It's probably a message they're trying to send to people about how fake the whole thing is.
Yeah, that's
when they do those.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. Probably not, but whatever. That's what I'll interpret out of it. And you can't stop me.
I'm just looking at the image now. You're right. They put a bra on her or something on the little puppet. And it looks creepy. Like, she's dressed as a baby. She keeps on going from wanting to be dressed as a rapper, which is interpreted as, like, she's got earrings and all that kind of stuff. I actually don't think rappers ever wore... The clothing that
maybe wore? Vanilla Ice and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree.
Insufficient chains.
Yeah, they just. I think they always looked cooler than that. Jeez. Anyway.
So Joe seems to like him cute.
God.
He keeps going for the cute pictures and chooses that for the magazine cover.
Yeah. And there's a little scene in here with Joe. I think trying to walk somewhere and then. Darren, in a very straight bodyguard voice, he's acting as a bodyguard now. He just says, "I suggest you keep your voice down, sir." I don't know why I really like that. All those bits with it. So where are we up to? Oh yeah, that Moddy and Radis, they kicked Darren out of the shed. And it was just this plan that they had because they still want to be these backup dancers for the video clip that they're going to be shooting the next day. And then did you guys find it funny the trap that Moddy and Radis ensnared fake Kylie and Keith into?
It was good. So they basically distracted them with boot scootin' music. They wake up, it's boot scootin' time or something, and then they caught them in a trap.
And then Keith falls out of the tree to get to the boot scootin' music.
That was really original, loved it. Actually, just before this, there's a scene where I think the ferals go into Joe's place and they wake them up.
Yeah.
And Lenny's hair's hilarious, but Robbie's hair has a gigantic, like, part of it stuck up. So it reminded me, it's like she got the Something About Mary special.
Joe's special sauce.
No, scooting part was good. So.
Do you think that this answers the question of who was on the couch? Remember in the other episode where you said there was some activity on the couch?
Yep.
Because Lenny was on the couch.
Yes.
Yeah, so it must have been Lenny going...
Just thinking about Robbie.
I do like how they've probably continued the pattern, and it's accurate still where she sleeps in Joe's bedroom and he gets the couch. It's the little things.
Mm. I mean, how long has this been? Seriously.
10 episodes.
I know.
It feels like it's been months and months.
Yeah, it would have been months. And still, seriously, isn't the apartment fixed now? Because when they were recording The rabbit route.
Looks like it is.
The apartment looks fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. Continuity expert. We should be judging them based on nothing. Anyway, so now we go into the actual shoot of the video.
Can I just say, easiest prop day ever. Because all the props are just what they have in the studio. They don't need to actually... They must have been like, okay, what props do we need to organize for this episode? Video cameras? Lighting? Oh, yes!
Yeah, but you say that, but then it's not like they just have spare sitting around, right?
No, but they're in the ABC studios. Of course I have things I can grab from the other studios.
Yeah, I guess so. But I think they'd still have to organize it and book it and do all this stuff.
Yeah, but compared to creating new props or buying new props...
Yeah, true. Yeah, true. I always find that really weird when you're watching a show and then it shows the behind the scenes of the show, but then it obviously has to be behind the scenes of the show that you're watching. I don't know. I find that really weird. I don't know. Were there any highlights in this thing where they're shooting the video?
I don't know. I like
Joe
the,
gets fired.
I like the part where Peggy walks in and demands a raise from Don.
You idiot. I was like wondering what you were saying then for a second. Peggy, I'm like, who? What? Oh, God. Is that what you're up to in the show?
Yeah. No, I'm past that.
Okay, yeah. No, I just like that.
Mike's lost.
So what did we think of the video clip that was produced? Because it got played at the end of the episode.
It wasn't bad, actually. I thought it was all right. Cheesy, but... I think it was super cheesy, but I liked it better than the rap song that they did for their birthday party.
That's true. Certainly not the best song that they've come up with on the show. It's still probably slightly better than some Aussie rap that's out there. What's her name? Iggy Azalea. We're looking at you.
Yeah.
But you know what actually made me think? You know that camera technique of zooming in quickly and zooming out quickly again?
Yeah.
You just don't see that ever used in any medium now. Like music videos, even on YouTube, people don't see
it when it's used in an ironic manner.
Yeah. But this was quite a common technique that people used in the 90s all the time.
Now, something that's been bugging me for a while. So the Ferals go, "We're gonna get ya."
Yeah, all the time now. They seem to be saying it all the time.
Who or what are they getting? What is that alluding to? I don't understand it. Are they like, are we going to chase after you and steal your food or something? I just don't understand it.
It's the metaphorical they. They're going to get someone. What? They're going to get
you. Does anyone remember the theme song?
What?
The theme song.
All I heard was...
That theme song.
It's probably the quality of the Hangouts, but...
What theme song? You mean of the Ferals?
Yeah.
Yeah, what about it?
Well, you know the part where it says, "Don't mess with the Ferals, they're going to get you back"?
That's not the lyric.
That's not the line. Your imagination is
you
so
You actually
strong,
had to sing
man.
The theme song last week.
The part... look, I'll paraphrase here. After they go, "Darren, he's a dopey
important.
Dog. Mixie's a muddled up, mixed up bunny. Ferals, that's the Ferals for you. Don't mess with the Ferals. They're going to get you back. The Ferals."
No, it's not.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's they're going to get you. They're the Ferals.
Whatever.
Get
that,
you.
Hey,
get
that's
you.
What
not
I,
get
that's
you back.
That's a big difference.
That's
a big difference.
Last
gonna get you back
you
is revenge.
Correct me.
Gonna get you is like more, I don't know, it's just... It's, I don't know.
I think it's just a shortcut of they're going to...
It's not as clear.
...get you, you know, back. It's based on the theme song. That's all I'm saying, whether I said it correctly
or not.
But
I just like how you're stating that was the lyric from the actual song.
That's what I said last week and no one corrected me.
Well, I haven't reheard the thing. It hasn't gone live yet.
Hasn't gone to the public yet. No, but it is important because "get you back" means they've already been got. Right?
Sorry. Now I'm looking forward to hearing him singing like a gay Mike Tyson. "Yeah, Ferals going to get you back."
Going to get you back to the Ferals. Oh, Lord. So to wrap up the show, the show is actually being cancelled that they were going to appear on. Totally cool.
No, it's weird, though. They say America. They like, "Oh, we're back from America" or something?
No,
or was it the network?
I'm saying the ending of this episode was so dialed in.
Oh, it was really weak. Really weak. Oh, it's ended. Oh, well, I didn't want to be famous anyway. That's it.
And then that was the end of the episode. Oh, like she whimpered or something, and then they walked off, and that was the end. I was like, what? It was so lame, the end of this episode. Actually, to be honest, I had a higher rating, and then I dropped it down after the end of the episode.
So, my note said, show cancelled, Miximania over, Keith and Kylie are probably skeletons.
Yeah, because that's true.
Moddy and Radis are like, oh, Keith and Kylie, that's right, they'd forgotten about them.
That's true, actually. Surely it would have been 3 or 4 days where they'll be up there. Because when you shoot a video, you have to edit it. It's not like you can just go, oh, yeah, done.
Yeah.
But it was weird. Like, why is she not famous anymore? She was already on TV and everyone loved her. Surely there's other TV shows. It's just so stupid.
They did show after the credits. So they replayed the rabbit rap in the credits. But they showed them leading down Keith and Kylie. And I can't remember anything exciting happening from that, but...
Yeah, they let him down, and that was the end. I don't know if it ended early or there wasn't anything.
I thought it would have been funnier if they just didn't show us what happened, so we could just assume Keith and Kylie were dead, or that was the way to write fake Kylie out. It's like she'd
or Keith had to eat Kate, that's fake
exactly
Kylie.
What I was going to say. They were starving, and Keith had to kill her and eat her.
I need my gummies.
It's like that Alive movie, oh, God. In the Himalayas or whatever.
But they are alive. Anyway, all right. Well, I think that wraps up the episode. Is there anything else that we missed or you guys wanted to cover?
I don't know, Mike. Do you want to give me a review of that hook?
10 out of 10.
Wow. We can see what Mike's into, and we've seen what Swinney's into.
Is that a true 10 out of 10, or is that the gymnast urinating into the toilet 10 out of 10
picture. He's rating he's rating the hook picture 10 out of 10. What did you rate the episode?
Oh, Mike? The episode. Oh, yeah. Boy. I'm going to go with 6 on this one.
Back to an old classic.
Back to the old faithful.
It's a legitimate 6 this time, not I'm just going to have everything as a 6, which I may or may not have done at the start of the first season. I felt like
the entirety of the first season.
Almost. Besides that one time,
he failed because he put a 7 in the first one.
Anyway, but it's only because I forgot whether I was giving things 6s or 7s, so I gave it a 7 by mistake.
You should have started rotating between 6 and 7. Anyway,
should always rotate.
We'll just have to record the podcast from the start again.
Hmm? We have to do them all again.
Yes,
all again. No, Swinny, what did you give this?
I give this episode an 8.
Whoa, oh,
interesting.
I actually thought caramba. This was probably the strongest episode in this season so far. In saying that, it's not a strong season, so... But no, I really enjoyed this episode. Other than the ending, that kind of is the only thing that irked me about it. But, yeah, I laughed a lot.
I was actually... This is... Out of every single episode, I was so torn on the rating for this one. And I must admit, I probably overthought the rating. I was like, I don't know what I should give it. I think it was heavily influenced by the ending for me, because I watched it and then I'm like, gave it the rating. I think if I sort of thought about it again in 3 or 4 days, maybe I'll give it a different rating. I agree with your sentiments about the season as well. This season, what I would say is it hasn't had any glaringly terrible episodes, but it also hasn't had any glaringly amazing episodes that the first season had, like the Mary Poppins episode and a few others like that. I gave it a 5 this episode, but I had it as a 7 as I was watching it. But I just hated the ending, man. It was just really... It pissed me off.
Mm.
There you go. Well, I think that wraps it up for now.
Whoa, surprise! The ending's here.
Exactly.
Thank God.
So next week is episode 11, Ratty Ratty Bang Bang. What? This is legit, Ratty Ratty Bang Bang.
It's obviously from Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
But isn't that Mary Poppins, or is that another classic?
No, that's
another movie.
Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
Oh, wow. Ooh, I'm excited about this episode. But that's for next week, and it's all for now. But it's bye for now.
It's all for now. Yeah.
It's all for now. Bye for now.
It's all for now. All right, bye.
See ya.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.